I've entitled the message this morning, Dead with a New Life. Kind of an odd title, but at the same time, when you look into the scripture and see what it says, you'll understand a little bit more where we're coming from. I want to begin this morning by looking in chapter 5, reading a few verses there that we didn't yet cover, and make comments on them as they lead us into chapter 6 and leave us a foundation. Verse number 12 of chapter 5 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Then verse number 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, as we think about what he's saying here, he's telling us that Adam, the first man, disobeyed God and led the human race into sin. And because of Adam's sin, we now have a sin nature that is with us from birth. We sin because we're sinners. And we have that nature with us. We will not get rid of that nature until we get to heaven. We have a sin nature that is indwelling us, plaguing us, and pulling us down. But Christ, the God-man, provided a way to credit all repentant, believing sinners with righteousness. We've been looking at that in the last couple of weeks. He is able to credit those who will put their faith in him with righteousness because he paid the debt of our sin. Now, at the end of the chapter 5, there he says, it talks about grace and sin. And he says in verse 20, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." So the idea is that he said where there was an abundance of sin, there was even a greater abundance of God's grace to save those sinners. And then he anticipates a response that some people have, and that is in verse number 6, or chapter 6 and verse number 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" So the idea is, well, if an abundance of sin provides for a greater abundance of God's grace, then maybe we should just keep on sinning and we'll get lots more of God's grace. And he's addressing that subject matter this morning as we begin in verse number, in chapter number 6. And as we look at this morning, we find here that he will tell us that we have died to sin. In verse number 2, he says, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, this passage here is a passage that if you don't focus on it correctly, you won't understand it. Because it's a bit complicated. It's a bit heavy. It's a bit deep. But I hope to make it simple for us. The Lord opened my eyes to a lot of things as I studied it over this week, and especially as I listened to another sermon that was not even directly related to it, but it really helped me to understand what he is providing for us here. And I think it can be a great help. Now, God says that if you are a true Christian, your sinful spirit died to sin and rose again to new life. To make the most of this new life, however, you need to understand and believe three basic facts. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The three basic facts you must believe. Not just believe it in your head, but believe it in your heart. You must believe these three basic facts in order to take advantage of that which has taken place in your life. Now, he's writing here to Christians. If you don't know for positive you're a Christian, it doesn't apply to you. But it's applying to Christians. Now, the first thing that we must believe is that we must believe that our old spirit is dead to sin. Our old spirit is dead to sin. Now, from birth, you were alive to sin. From the time you were an infant, you were alive to sin. You had within you something you inherited from Adam, and that is a sin nature. You have a sin nature in you. And that sin nature will be with you until the day you get translated to heaven. And you cannot get rid of the sin nature. The sin nature is our enemy. It is that which will pull us into sin and pull us down. You know, we inherited it from Adam. And, no one had to take sinning lessons. You know, no one has to take their little baby and say, "Now, kid, you're old enough. Now you ought to be able to sin. You know, come on, let me show you how." Never have to do that. They learn it automatically all too well. How? It's their sin nature. It's part of them. It's deep down inside of their very nature. And that's what he was telling us back in chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam sinned, and because he sinned, his sin and death by sin passed upon all of his descendants. And that includes all of us. We've all been plagued by that. And our human spirit is the old man that's in us, as the scriptures talk about, is in union with our sin nature. Now, I'm going to make a little illustration here, and I'm going to be using this several times. But I think I'll put it down here. Can you all see that? If you can't, you have to move around a bit. I'm going to let that songbook represent our life. All right? That's not very high here. How can I do this? Try something different. Watch all this stuff crash all over the place. All right. If you saw all that was in that, you wouldn't want me to do that. Okay. That will represent our life. Now, in our life, we have the sin nature. The sin nature. Now, our sin nature is something we inherited from Adam. We've had that all of our life. And our old human spirit is in union with the sin nature. Now, this represents our old human spirit. Our old human spirit is in union with our old nature. They work together. They're in harmony. The two of them are like two peas in a pod. You know, they're in fellowship with each other. They're both wicked. They're both carnal. They're both ungodly. And so our old sin nature, our old spirit, our sinful old man, our old man is in union with our sinful nature. All right, our sinful nature, and that's part of our life. They're a fundamental part of our life because that's what was part of us when we were born. We were born with a sin nature. Now, as we look at this, the scripture says, verse number 2, he says, "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So he says that we've been dead to sin. Now, how did this take place? Well, verses 3 and 4, he's going to illustrate for us, and he's going to tell us a little bit about that, and we'll work our way into it gradually. But let me read verse number 3 to get a foundation of what we're looking at. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are baptized with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So he talks here about death. He says, our old man, the old man, he said, died. Now, what exactly is taking place? First of all, we need to think about this. What is death? Well, death is a separation. Death is a separation, a breaking of a union. When a person physically dies, there is a separation. Their soul departs from their body and leaves the body behind. There is a separation between the soul and the body. And that is death. Now, as we think about this death, he's telling us here, he says there was a death that took place. We ask ourselves, well, what part of us died? What part of you died with Christ? Was it your body? No, we're all still physically alive. Was it our soul? No, it couldn't be our soul, because our soul is that which lives eternally with God. It was our spirit. The inner spirit, this sinful inner spirit, the old man, died with Christ. The old sinful man died with Christ. And that is what he is getting, what he is teaching us here. The old sinful man was in union with our sinful nature. But it died with Christ. Now, you must believe that your human spirit died. Now, that's critical because often we make all kinds of excuses. I just can't get victory over the sin. I can't have victory in my life. I can't live for God because I just am, you know, bound to it. Well, God says that our old sinful nature died. He said our old sinful nature died. And I'll be further in that illustration in just a moment. So he says here, our old sinful nature died. Now, it gives us an illustration with baptism. And the baptism illustration often confuses, but let's take a look at it and let me explain. We read there in verse 3, he says, "Know ye not that as many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." Now, as we examine this, first of all, let's take a look at these things. What is he saying? First, he says that this baptism is into Christ. It's a baptism into Christ. Then he says that it is a baptism that he, Paul, and all believers had participated in. All right, so he says it was for all. All right, verse number 3, knowing that, that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. He's saying if you know Christ, if you're a Christian, you've experienced this. Then he says it is it immersed the believers into the death of Christ. Now that's a bit confusing. You know, how can you be immersed in the death of Christ that took 2,000 years ago? Well, that's something that God does. It's a miracle that God does. But he's using this as an illustration. Let me continue on. The baptism that he's speaking here obviously took place at salvation. Because he says here that it was that which all of them had, and they were baptized into Jesus. All right, so it took place at salvation. And it's not possible, though, that the baptism produced salvation. That's not possible. And there's several reasons for that. One of the easiest explanations for that, when someone tells you that you got to be baptized in order to be saved, if they tell you that, you say, well, wait a minute. What about all the verses in the Bible that say nothing about being baptized, and yet they talk about getting saved? For example, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord and be baptized shall be saved." It doesn't say that. It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You got John 3:16 that says the same thing. You got numerous verses. Not only that, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul said, "For Christ called me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." You think, whoa, wait a minute. The apostle Paul? You know, I mean, if baptism is part of it, why would he say, I'm not here to baptize, I'm here to preach the gospel? Well, that wouldn't make sense, because if baptism was a vital part of it, then Paul's dropping the ball. He's being a failure. So we know that couldn't be true. So baptism is not that which produces the salvation. Now, it cannot refer here specifically to water baptism. And I say specifically, I think there's an application, but it can't refer specifically to water baptism because it takes place the moment of salvation. It's talking about something that took place the moment you got saved. And water baptism is that which takes place after salvation. It always takes place after salvation. One example of this, Peter was preaching the gospel to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse number 47. And Cornelius and his family had trusted Christ at the result of his preaching. And he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So this was after they'd believed and after they had the Holy Spirit living in them. Now he says, can anybody forbid them to be baptized? And the reason he asked that question is because they were Gentiles. It was the first time Gentiles had gotten baptized, and that was kind of an exceptional thing. But the obvious indication here is that water baptism takes place after a person trusts Christ. Now, water baptism, as found in the Bible, is always by immersion. It's always by immersion. Now, immersion means to plunge under the water, to get all wet. All right, and the idea of calling a little sprinkling of water on a baby's head baptism is a false teaching that did not come about for centuries after the time of Christ. And even some churches will take a cup of water and pour it on them. That's no different. And that didn't happen until centuries after the time of Christ either. And a lot of people don't even realize this, but even those who practiced baby baptism falsely, that's not a biblical thing to do. There was no babies baptized in the Bible. But even those who did practice baby baptism in early years, it was 700 years before they started sprinkling the babies. They always dunked them under the water for 700 years. People don't realize that. Even the Catholic Church dunked their babies for 700, well, no, it wouldn't have been 700, but it would have been about 400 years, because the Catholic Church didn't come into existence until about 300 years after Christ. And so for about 400 years, they dunked their babies as well, as the normal way of what they considered baptism. But as you look in the Bible, you will not find baby baptism at all mentioned in the Bible, because it's not in the Bible. And it's not the biblical baptism. Now, if you've not followed the Lord in baptism after you trusted Christ your Savior, you really need to do that. Because that's the baptism the Bible teaches. Now, water baptism is a physical symbol of a spiritual reality. It is an outward expression of an inward work of God. It's something that took place inside, but it's an expression on the outside. It is a testimony. Now, this baptism we're seeing here in Romans 6 is a spiritual baptism that takes place the moment a person trusts Christ. He is baptized into Christ and into the Holy Spirit. And it is a miracle that God plunges the repentant sinner into Christ and into his death. And in a miracle way, God does a transformation in that person's life. Now, we can certainly see here in chapter 6, a lot of good illustration, and I've even used this passage in baptismal situations. There's certainly a picture of the baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We see the picture of that. But because of the details that are involved here, it has to be referring specifically to the spirit baptism that takes place the moment a person trusts Christ as their Savior. The old man, the sinful spirit, is now dead. The old man that was indwelling my sin nature is now dead. He's gone. He's dead and gone. Now, with that, something else took place. Look at verse number 4. He says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When we trusted Christ as our Savior, not only did our old sinful spirit die, but God says that He resurrected that old sinful spirit and gave us a new spirit. A new spirit. We have a new spirit, a resurrected new spirit, a new man that lives in us. If you know Christ your Savior, you have a new man living in you. But that's not all. God did something else that is even more marvelous. He also gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us. And the Holy Spirit lives in us now. And the Holy Spirit living in us is a wonderful blessing, because our new spirit can be in harmony and in unity with the Holy Spirit. But you notice here, our new spirit cannot be in harmony with the old flesh anymore. It doesn't work. Oh, we can team up with the old flesh sometimes and do some things that are wrong, but we're not in harmony with them anymore like we used to be. But we are now in harmony with the Holy Spirit of God. And that is the blessing of the new man that God has given to us. Now let's take a look at this. We need to believe, first of all, we need to believe that our old spirit is dead. If you don't believe that your old spirit is dead, you will never have victory over sin. You've got to understand your old fleshly spirit is dead. Your old spirit is dead. And God revived, or didn't revive it, He made it new and gave you a resurrected new spirit that is totally different and in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to believe now that we can live a new life. We can live a new life. You know, some Christians say, but I just can't. No, you can do right. You can live for Christ. You can have victory. If you know Jesus as your Savior, the old man is dead. You have a new spirit now, a new man that lives in you, and he is created by God, a new creation, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, and he is in harmony with the Holy Spirit that now lives in you that wasn't there before. You can live in victory because you have got a transformed life. Now, Christ was raised up by the glory of God. Look at verse number 4 again. He says that, therefore, we are baptized with Him by baptism into His death, or buried with Him by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now, what's He saying there? He said the glory of the Father raised up Jesus Christ. What is the glory of the Father? Well, as we look around, we look back at another example of this in John chapter 11, verse 40, when Jesus was standing at the graveside of Lazarus. Jesus told Lazarus' sister, Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" You will see the glory of God. He's talking here about the glorious, almighty power of our great God. The almighty power of God. And He said, it's the almighty power of God that gave me new life. Just like it gave Christ new life. When Christ was raised from the dead and victory over sin and paid the debt of our sin, that same power of God gave me a new life. And He gave you a new life if you know Christ your Savior. He now lives in you. And if you know Him as your Savior, you can walk in newness of life. Because the same glorious power that He had to give Christ the victory over the grave is that same power, that glorious power of God that lives in you. And that Holy Spirit now lives in your life. Now there are two natures in you, and there is something additional. Now the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. He was never there before. It was just your old flesh and your old sin nature. Your old sin nature and your old spirit. That was all there was there before. That's why an unsaved person cannot do right. They cannot do good. Oh, sure, they can be a nice person sometimes, but they still have a sin nature, still have a sin problem because they don't have any help. But now, if you know Christ your Savior, the old sin, the old sinful spirit is gone. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you, and you've got a new spirit that is in harmony, in union with the Holy Spirit. And you can live a new life. That's why in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." So he says, "I am crucified. The old sinful man is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me." All right, so it's, we've got a new spirit, but Christ also, Christ and the Holy Spirit live in me. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And so, Christ died to break sin's bondage. And our old sinful spirit died with Christ and rose again to new life. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works." He created me a new person in Christ Jesus, unto good works. And I can do that. I can live for Him. Now, when He talks about good works, He's not just talking about being a good helper or this and that. He's talking about to be able to live the good Christian life I'm supposed to live in order to have victory. He created me in Christ Jesus unto good works so I can have victory. And the Spirit of God is there helping me. He is now living in me. I'm not by myself anymore. The old sinful nature is gone. The old spirit is gone. The old spirit of me is gone. He's dead. And I've been resurrected to a new life and a new spirit. And I have a new spirit living in me. And the Holy Spirit is in union with my new spirit. Or my new spirit's in union with the Holy Spirit. And the old sinful nature is still there. But we're going to learn more about that in just a few moments. We need to then choose to walk in newness of life. So this new spirit that is in me, and in you if you know Christ your Savior, you should... The right place to be is in harmony with the Spirit of God. We studied on Sunday night a few weeks back about abiding in Christ. That's the same principle as walking in the Spirit. Being in harmony and union with the Spirit of God. Being in fellowship and in rightness with the Spirit of God. That's where we belong as a Christian. But you know, sometimes we get carnal. Sometimes we say, "Well, I don't know if I like this, and I think I want to do things my way." And we venture out and we try to link up again with the old sin nature. Now, we aren't slaves to Him anymore. We can't be in union with Him anymore. But we do sometimes link up with Him and do wrong. And we get ourselves into trouble when we do. That's not what God wants. The right place for us to be is in union with the Holy Spirit of God. But you've got a choice. Now you have a genuine choice. Now, let me ask you, when you were linked, before you got saved, and you were in harmony with the old sinful nature, did you have any choice? You didn't have any choice. Oh, you could try to be good. But, you know, that's like trying to get a pig to walk, take a bath. I mean, it just doesn't happen very well. It doesn't work. Because our old sin nature, we were slaves. We're going to find out in a few moments. Not only were we in union with our old sin nature, but we were slaves to the old sin nature. We couldn't get out and do it right. We couldn't because we were enslaved to Him. We were bondage to Him. But now, the old sin nature is still there, but our old sinful flesh is, our spirit is gone. We've got the Holy Spirit God living in us, and now we can be in union with the Spirit of God. You've got a genuine choice. Every Christian, if you truly know Christ your Savior, you have a choice when it comes to sin. You can say no to sin. You can be victorious over sin. And we have that opportunity because the Spirit of God lives in us. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now look at this picture again. If you're walking in the Spirit and in harmony and in union with the Spirit of God, you cannot be over here fellowshipping with the sin nature. You can't. Because it won't let you. The Holy Spirit's not going to get near the old sin nature. So you cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh that the sin nature wants to produce in your life. You can't. If you're walking in the Spirit. The key to the Christian life of victory is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in harmony with God. To walk in fellowship with God. And to say no to sin. Because as long as you are in harmony with the Spirit of God, you cannot fulfill the lust of your sin nature. You can't. And that's a wonderful truth. Now, as we make some application of that, you know, you can then have victory over any sin. You can. And you can break sinful addictions. And you can conquer lustful thoughts. And you can control your temper. And you can live out your marital roles that God has planned for your life. You can do what is right. You can. You can. You can have victory. Whatever it is in your life, you say, "But I can't." No, you can if you will let God take control. And if you'll understand, first of all, the old man, the old sinful man is dead. You are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer a slave to it. He is dead. Dead. Now you have a new spirit that no longer can link with the old flesh. Oh, it can come in contact with it, but it can't link with it like it did before. You are in harmony. You can be in harmony with the Spirit of God who lives in you. That is something you didn't have before. You had no Spirit of God living in you. Now the Spirit of God lives in you and is in harmony and wants to be in harmony with you, with your new spirit. And you've got great potential to do what's right. You can have victory by living in union with the indwelling Spirit of God. Now it gets even better. Look at verse number 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." All right, we've been planted in the likeness of Christ's death. All right, so we have died. Our old sinful spirit has died with Christ on the cross. When Christ died for us, I died with Him when I trusted Him as my Savior. And yet He says that we will also be part of His resurrection. Now, this has two aspects to it. Our new spirit was resurrected. The old spirit died, and a new spirit resurrected, a new being. But you know, not only did He resurrect us on the inside, but you know, there's a day coming we will be resurrected on the outside as well. The Bible tells us because Christ rose from the dead physically, we will also rise from the dead physically one day when we meet the Lord. And that day is going to be a glorious, glorious day because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. So when we will be resurrected one day. And when we do, the great thing about that is that we are going to be resurrected with a sinless nature. Our sin's going to be gone forever. Sin will be history. The old sin nature will be gone. This old sin nature that plagues me day by day and plagues you day by day is going to be gone forever. That'll be wonderful. But for right now, until that day, we've got the Spirit of God living in us. We've got a new spirit living in us. That we are have a new spirit. Our old spirit's gone. We have a new spirit that can be in harmony with the Spirit of God. The old sinful nature is still there, but He is not have the control over us that he used to have. Now we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." One of these days, we're going to be like Christ. We'll see him as he is. What a wonderful thing that'll be. Now, we've looked at two of the facts. The first fact, we need to believe that you are your old sinful spirit is dead. Believe that. He's dead. He died with Christ when you trusted Christ your Savior. You say, "Pastor, how did that all happen?" I don't know. It was a miracle. God did a wonderful thing. Our old sin spirit is dead. And believe that you can live a new life because of two things. You have a new spirit living in you now. The old one's dead, been resurrected to new life in Christ. And you have the Holy Spirit living in you to give you peace and harmony and to help you to do what's right. And they both are now in your life to help you. So we can live a new life. But then number three, believe that you're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer sin's slave. Your old man has been crucified with Christ. All right? So we looked at that. It's kind of a review, but it's also a help. Your old man has been crucified. And he was crucified with Christ. The union then with their old sinful nature has been broken. That union is broken, and it will not bother us again. And he made you a new creature. That was an absolute miracle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "If any man be in Christ," to be in Christ is also, you see, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are God. And sometimes it talks about the Holy Spirit living in us, sometimes it talks about Christ living in us. The idea here is that if we are in Christ, we are in the Holy Spirit. We are in union with God. And he says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Everything's become new because if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, as we think about this, your old sinful nature has died. Look at verse number 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that, or in order that, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." What's he talking about, the body of sin? The old man's been crucified that the body of sin might be destroyed. The body of sin, I believe, is talking about our sinful body, our whole nature, our old sinful nature that enjoys sin. And he says it's been destroyed. Now, the word destroyed there, if you were to look up the original meaning of it, it has more to do with to be rendered idle or to be inoperable. It's like when your car, if there's no fuel in it, it's inoperable. It won't operate. You got to have fuel in the car to make it run. If you take all the fuel out of the car, it won't run. And so God has taken the fuel out of our old sinful body, taken the fuel out so that it won't work anymore. We don't have to yield to sin and fulfill sin. We don't have to. Why? Because now we are in union with the Spirit of God who lives in us to give us victory, to help us, to strengthen us. And our old sinful nature that was a slave to our sinful, our old sinful spirit that was a slave to our sinful nature is no longer there. He's gone. He's destroyed. And now our body can be, we don't have to then fulfill the lustful sins of the flesh that we always did before. We have been set free. And the result is freedom from sin. He says, "Henceforth, we should not serve sin." Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." For dead, we're freed from sin. If we were before, we were in bondage to sin. There was nothing we could do to get out of it. We were trapped. Every time we try to do right, we'd end up doing wrong. Every time we'd turn over a new leaf, we'd go back to the old ways. Every time we try to quit a bad habit, we'd be back into it before long. Every time we tried to stop thinking dirty thoughts, we'd be back at it before long. Every time we tried to have a clean heart, we'd be back at it before long. Why? Because we were slaves. We were in union with our sinful nature. We could not get out. But when we died with Christ, And that was taken care of. Now our new spirit is no longer in union with our old flesh. We can, and with the Holy Spirit moved in, we can be in union with God. And that is a wonderful truth. We are set free. The old union no longer exists with our sinful nature. Now you're freed from sin. Now you can serve Christ. Now you can serve Christ. We now have a genuine choice. A genuine choice. And so every one of us, on a daily basis, even an hourly basis, we have to make choices. What am I going to do? Am I going to serve Christ? Am I going to stay close fellowship with Christ? Am I going to stay in union with Christ and stay in union with the Spirit of God? Keep my life clean? Do what's right? Now you say, well, Pastor, how do I go about doing that? How do I stay in union with the Holy Spirit? I want victory in my life, but I've tried and I keep falling on my face. What's going wrong? All right, here's the thing. If we're going to be in union with the Spirit of God, first of all, we've got to make sure there's nothing between us and God. Nothing. Nothing. You know, so many times we'll look at our life and say, well, yeah, I've got everything cleaned up. But, you know, deep down inside, there's some little dark corner where we've held on to something. We haven't confessed something, or we're not doing something right. And we've got to make sure everything is right with God. And then there, we need to have obedience, full obedience to God. So that there's nothing that you can think of that God has ever brought to your mind that you know you should do that you're not doing. You are obeying God. You're following God's orders. Whether it comes to the way you talk or the way you act, the way you think, the way you conduct yourself as a spouse, your role as a spouse, your role with your children, whatever it is. Every area of your life, you say, as far as I know, I am doing exactly what God wants me to do. I'm in harmony with God. I'm in fellowship with God. And the Spirit and I are seeing eye to eye in these things. We're in harmony. We're in fellowship. We're in sweet fellowship. And God says, if we will do that, we can have victory. Because if we're there, living in the presence of the Spirit of God, fulfilling His desire for us, and obeying Him, our old sinful nature cannot lead us astray. It cannot lead us astray. Our new man repels the old man. They are not in fellowship. The Spirit of God is certainly not going to get close to them, and my new spirit cannot be in full fellowship with them. It just doesn't work. It's not compatible. No longer compatible. Now, as we think about this morning, we looked at three things we need to believe. The first thing we need to believe, that your old spirit is dead to sin. Do you believe that this morning? That your old spirit, the old sinful man, the old man in you, is dead to sin. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, He's dead. Now, if He's not dead, that simply means you aren't saved. Because your old sinful spirit is dead if you know Jesus Christ. Now, your old nature is not dead. Your old nature is still alive, and it'll be there plaguing you from the time you're born to the time you die. Your old nature is still alive. But your old sinful man, your old sinful spirit is dead. Secondly, believe that you can live the new life. You can live the new life. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in you, and your new spirit, the spirit that God resurrected from the dead, in your salvation, He is alive and in harmony with the Spirit of God. You can live the new life. And then thirdly, believe that you are no longer slaves to sin. You're no longer slaves to sin. You don't have to sin. And He's going to go on and illustrate this more as we move on into the chapter next week, Lord willing. And He's going to explain more of how we are no longer in union, in harmony with the old nature, but we are set free with Christ. You know, this morning, I hope that this has helped you to understand where we really stand as Christians between us and God. And, you know, sometimes we might ask ourselves, well, if that be true, Pastor, why is it that there are so many Christians that are addicted to sins? Addicted to cigarettes, or addicted to alcohol, or addicted to pornography, or immorality, or anger, or hate, or bitterness. Why are they addicted to these things? There's only two answers. None other. There's only two answers to that question. Either they have never gotten rid of their old spirit and they're still not saved, or they're not walking in the Spirit and they're trying to have fellowship with their old nature. There's no other explanation. That's the only thing it can be. Either they are not linked up and in harmony with the Spirit of God, or they're not saved. And so this morning, as you look into your own heart, you may say, well, Pastor, you know, there's some things in my life that I've struggled with for years, and I know they're not right. I've tried to get rid of it. I've tried to get it out of my life, and it just doesn't seem to want to leave. It's plaguing me, and I've tried and tried, and I've prayed about it, and it still doesn't leave. And I've just kind of come to the conclusion that, well, you know, I guess everybody has a thorn in the flesh, and this is supposed to be mine. But God says here, if there's a sin in your life that ought not to be there, and you know it ought not to be there, you can have victory. You can live the Christian life. You can be what God wants you to be if you will do God's way of doing it. If you'll do it God's way, you can have victory. Now this morning, you need to believe these facts that we've looked at and claim them. And just come to God. The best thing you can do is come to God and say, God, I understand now. My old flesh is dead. My old spirit, not my old flesh, my old spirit, the old man that lived in me before, he's dead. I can't blame him. I'm going to always have my old sin nature. Everybody does. The most godly Christian in the world has the old sin nature in him. He's not going to believe until we go to heaven. But my old man is dead. And I can't blame him anymore. And I can have victory. And just come to God and say, God, you live in me. Your spirit lives in me. And I want to be in harmony with you. And right now, Lord, my life's been over here keeping fellowship with the sin nature. And it doesn't fit. You know, there is no Christian walking on this earth right now that is living this kind of life where his spirit, his new spirit, is trying to have fellowship with his sin nature and he's happy. You can't be happy over there. You can't be happy over there. Oh, maybe for a few minutes, maybe for an hour, maybe during a time of excitement. But in the end, you'll say, this is a miserable life. Why? Because the Spirit of God is saying, what are you doing over there? What are you doing over there? Get back over here where you belong. You can't live over there. You're out of place. You're not in harmony with me. And he keeps picking at you and picking at you and picking at you until you say, you're right, God. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me to obey you. Bring me back into fellowship with you. And you get back in fellowship with God and you can be happy. There's no other way. There's no other way. And so, this morning, wherever you're at in your life, whatever the issue is in your life that you have been pushing under the rug and saying, I guess I just can't get rid of this. I'm plagued with it for the rest of my life. You are not plagued with that. You can have victory. You can have victory over your thoughts. You can have victory over your lust of your flesh. You can have victory over these things that are getting you down. Whatever that issue is, you can be what God wants you to be if you'll do it God's way. But you've got to come clean with God. You've got to come to God on your knees with a broken heart and saying, God, I have been wrong. I have been blaming my old spirit, and my old spirit's been dead. And I didn't even realize it, but I am wrong. And I cannot have the victory in my own strength, but I know that you can give me the victory. And if you'll come to God, claim His victory, He'll give you victory. And then you say, well, does that mean I won't be tempted anymore? No, you'll be tempted all the time. The old nature's not going to give up that easy. But the next time He tempts you and says, hey, come on over here, you can just say, no, hang on, Holy Spirit, help me through this one. I'm not interested in that anymore. Oh, come on over, look at this thing. No, nope, I'm not going to look at that anymore. I'm not interested. Spirit of God, help me. Oh, come on over and do this again. No, I'm not interested. Leave me alone. Spirit of God, help me. God, help me through this. Keep me strong. And you just keep depending on the Spirit of God and leaning on Him and calling out to Him and asking Him for help. You know, when the tempers start rising and you're starting to get ready for another family battle, you say, nope, not going to do that. God, please help me. Keep me strong. Help me to do right. And when people start treating you wrong, oh, God, help me to stay right. Don't let me get angry with them. Please, God, help me. You stay close to God and stay in close union with God all the time. And you can have victory. You can. And you know, this is something that we all have to work at. I wish I could tell you that I got this mastered. I don't have it mastered. I don't have it mastered. It's been a blessing as I studied through this. I understand it better now than I did before. And now I know where the battle is. And now I know what I got to do. I got to stay over here. And stop trying to climb over here. and have fellowship with my old nature. And so this morning, if there's something you need to get right with God, let's get it right.